there is an interesting new compilation out that puts our founding documents and more into one volume, at least 25 of them, 25 documents and speeches every American should own. It's under the title The Essential American, A Patriot's Resource. The author, actually the editor of the volume, is Jackie Gingrich Cushman. And Jackie, of course, you can tell by the name, Gingrich is the daughter of the former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich. She is also the founder and chairman of the board of the Learning Makes a Difference Foundation, and you can visit her website at www.jackiecushman.com, and that's linked at our website at godandculture.com. Jackie, it's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Let's chat a minute about what's not in the book. 25 documents that you include, but I have to believe you left some stuff on the editing room floor.
Oh, we did. It was really a challenge. And originally we started with the idea of 21. As you can tell from the end up with 25, we couldn't quite get to 21. But we really wanted to make sure we had the essential documents and speeches, the ones that we really thought told the story of our nation's history and transferred the value. National values we want our children to have. But I can give you one, for instance. We did about Reagan's Point to Hawk speech, which is a great speech, but we do have the speech, the Barry Goldwater speech, and we also have his Mr. Gorbachev's Tear Down This Wall speech. But it was a really, really, really tough challenge.
When we think about the kind of speeches and documents you've included here, is there a dearth of this kind of, for lack of a better way of characterizing it, Jackie, political rhetoric in our contemporary politicians? Do politicians today, for instance, Barack Obama, and even on the Republican side, John Boehner, who's getting ready to take your dad's old position as Speaker of the House, do we have men and women in our political culture today who have the capacity to be able to speak the way these leaders that you cite and compile in this book do?
That's a great question, and the most recent one we included was George W. Bush's speech on the floor of the House after 9/11, and we did that on purpose, and I'm going to answer your question in two parts. I think clearly we have people that have that capacity. I personally, of course, I'm biased. I'm his daughter, and I've heard my dad give speeches since before I can remember, but I think my dad is an incredible speaker. He speaks almost always extemporaneously. He speaks from his heart, and he speaks directly with the audience who's there, and I think he clearly has that capacity. But we didn't include any current speeches because I think without the test of time, it's really hard to determine which speeches really have staying power.
You know, I've met your dad on several occasions, and the most recent of which was during our own gubernatorial campaign, Pete Hoekstra, who lost to Rick Snyder, now the governor-elect. Your dad actually came to the airport that's a mile from my house, and I said, well, I'd like to go over and see what's happening at this rally. I'll tell you, a room full of maybe a couple hundred people at the most, and your dad on a little elevated platform there, and I felt like I was at the Republican National Convention. Your dad impresses me as being a guy, not to chase a rabbit here, but your dad impresses me as being a guy, it doesn't matter how many people are in the room, it is important to really connect with the people you're speaking to, regardless of the number.
Now, you're exactly right, and I'm glad you had that experience. I've seen him give talks to hundreds at convention when he was speaker. I've also seen him at book signings when he had literally two or three people there, and it's just the same. I mean, he is there to have a dialogue and to talk to whoever happens to be there, and I think that's one of the things that does make him a really good speaker.
I'll tell you what I was really pleased to see you include in your book. I'm sitting in my office at my house right now, and in the library behind me, I have a copy of The Letters of Abigail Adams, which I have read cover to cover and absolutely enjoy. And yet, a lot of political observers might question, why include The Letters of Abigail Adams in essential American reading?
Well, I think, you know, we did include her on purpose. We thought about her long and hard. And I think she is illustrative of the women back then who, most of them, as you know, they weren't in the forefront. They clearly weren't elected. And they stayed in the background. But she was very well educated. She had a very very great relationship with her husband. They treated each other as equals. And since you read the letters, you know that she asked him very good questions. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have a government, how's it going to be organized? How are we going to figure out how to do things? And she said, do you remember, do you guys over there, they're doing all this work, do you remember the people out here, the people that are really suffering? So I think she was clearly a very valuable sounding board. And I think she gives you a window into the fortitude of the women during that era that we don't see anywhere else.
Yeah, I agree. You know, as I read those letters, it's been about probably 2 years since I read them, but it was almost at times as if, as you've rightly pointed out, that Abigail was saying to her husband, you've almost got a beltway mentality, and there wasn't a beltway, but trying to pull him out of the political culture to get back into the real world.
No, yeah, and he also, you could tell in his response with her, I mean, he sent her Common Sense when it got published. He sent her political papers so she would be up to date and could ask those questions. He also understood how hard it was working both to keep their home running as well as keeping the children, you know, fed and clothed and educating them. And that gave him great peace and enabled him to work very hard. But it's interesting that you said the beltway mentality, because I thought the exact same thing when I was reading the passages. She knows that he's sitting there with all those other gentlemen trying to figure out, you know, these lofty thoughts, and she knew that part of her job was to bring him back to earth.
Yes, and most times politicians do need to be brought back to earth and brought back into the real world. It seems like there is a bit of a disconnect, at least on the Obama administration's part, to the American people. Do you think the president was prepared for what happened in the midterm elections, and what kind of message do you think the American people are sending back to the Beltway crowd about the direction they want this country to go in?
I don't think he was prepared, and personally, I don't think he yet understands. And I think part of the challenge, Peggy Noonan wrote a great column, I think it was a week ago, about how he needed someone that would tell him the truth about the people and remind him of reality. Because once in your bubble, you're in the bubble, it's very hard to get out. So I'm not sure he quite has that common touch. I think he's lost it to some degree. The real challenge we're going to have in the next 2 years, and this is part of why The Essential American, I'm so glad it came out now, because I think it frames the discussion in the right way. We have to understand how we were founded as a nation. We have to understand what our values were as a nation, what they should be as a nation, because I think the core fundamental argument we're going to have is that we have people in the government that believe the government has the sovereign power and can determine everything. And the fact is, our government was not created that way. It was created when we said God gave individuals rights and individuals loaned those rights to the government. These are two entirely different worldviews of our nation, and you can't just reach across the aisle and fix that. You have to have a conversation on which one is correct.
Jackie Gingrich Cushman, my guest. Her website, www.jackiecushman.com. It's linked at our website at godandculture.com, talking with Jackie about her new book, The Essential American, A Patriot's Resource, 25 Documents and Speeches Every American Should Own. You know, the president, President Obama, a month or so ago, left out the phrase in God, or the reference to God, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. I'm now noticing that MSNBC is running a 30-second promo for its programming that also alludes to the fact that Americans possess inalienable rights, and they never say that we've been endowed by our creator with certain inalienable rights. Is this intentional or just a misunderstanding of the document?
You know, you'd have to ask them, because I certainly can't read anyone's mind, but you do. But I had this really funny conversation. I was on a North Georgia radio station earlier today, and there was another woman, you know, opposite me, who was talking as well to the host, and her perspective was that we were endowed with rights that didn't come from God, and I said, have you read the Declaration of Independence? What part do you not understand?
Right.
Very clear. It's very, very clear, and that's why I think we're going to have a really interesting conversation for the next few years, because we have the majority of Americans that understand that and embrace that, And then we have some people that don't quite get it. And I don't understand, to your point, where they think these rights came from. But it's very clear that part of why, and this is why the Essential American, why it says, you know, that we believe we're an exceptional nation. Not because we're exceptional people, because we're all people, but because we believe as a nation in the Declaration of Independence that our rights came from God and we loaned them to the government. And when we get in this discussion about how the government's going to give people back their taxes as a tax break, we've lost our way because there is no, it's the taxpayer's money. The first penny you take in taxes is their money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them back their own money. You're not giving them back government money.
Well, it's evidence, Jackie, and I'm sure you concur that it's evidence of a complete ideological divide. When we talk about where the rights of Americans come from, it's clear that President Obama believes that that the government is the best thing that ever happened to the American people, and that the government exists for the benefit of the American people, vis-a-vis taking everything from them in order to determine who deserves to get it all handed back to them. Do you think, from a political perspective, as a political observer, from where you sit, that the American people have seen enough of President Obama's ideology to come to the conclusion that this is not about him just merely not getting it? He fundamentally holds to an ideology that it may not be anti-American, but it certainly isn't rooted in the American founding.
I think what your statement is correct. I'm not sure if as a group the people are quite ready, which is why in the next 2 years, I think clearly they tried to send a message. The last election was about we're in control, we're the people, we're sovereign, you're supposed to do our bidding. And I think they'd like to give him the benefit of the doubt that he'd move in that direction. What I've heard from him recently does not lead me to think that's going to happen. So, you know, we're going to have to see how the next 2 years unfold. But if he continues to go down the same path, and to your point, I think he clearly thinks the government can solve all of our problems. And as you and I know, that's simply not possible. But I think we're going to see a huge change in the next 2 years.
What do you mean, and I should say, what do we mean when we use the phrase American exceptionalism, and how might it differ from the ideology of those that have led our country over the last 2 years?
Well, American exceptionalism, and as we frame it in the book, and the way the book's laid out, we have both a foreword from my father, who's very nice enough to give the foreword to the book, as well as an introduction that I give. And then each of the 25 documents and speeches has a introduction to give a framework of what's happening at the time. So I say that because we talked specifically about American exceptionalism, and I think this is going to be the question for the nation, because clearly we have the Obama said, you know, we're exceptional, just like Germans think Germany is exceptional, and, you know, his point being everybody thinks their own country is exceptional, and we take a different approach. America is exceptional because we are a nation that said, you know what, monarchies aren't in control. We're not going to have a king. We're not going to have a government that hands out rights. We're a nation that believes that God gave us rights, and because God gave us rights, that they're loaned to the government. And I think until we can come to grasp with that in terms of the whole nation understanding and majority understanding and saying, not only do we believe that as a people, but we have to have elected officials that adhere to that same belief.
Well,
it's going to be a challenging conversation.
And it has already become a challenging conversation. I think. Do you think that the new Republican leadership gets it? Are they prepared? If they listen to the American people sensitively enough because I don't think that the American people elected Republicans the last time around as much as they voted against the direction that the president has been taking our country in. Is John Boehner and the other Republican, Mitch McConnell, are these men and the women that are serving in our Congress now prepared to recognize that the American people want us to get back to the idea of American exceptionalism and lead with that as a fundamental ideology?
I think that's something we have to wait and see unfold. I'm not sure. I can't predict the future. I think they understand intellectually the challenges, to your point earlier about the inside the beltway mentality. The challenge will be as things unfold, And as, you know, as the Republicans actually take over the House, which will happen in January, as the new leadership gets you know, on into their swing of things, will they actually be able to make the changes that they want? And, you know, we just have to wait and see. I do think this Congress is much better prepared in terms of the understanding how hard it will be. I talked to my dad in length after the election and said, what is different about Boehner than what happened when you became Speaker? Because we all know how controversial it was. And he was very blunt and said, you know, I had no idea. He had no idea how much media scrutiny and that he would be under as he became Speaker. And I think the Boehner understands that. He lived through that. He watched that. And I think the good news about that is I think he will let it affect him less, because you can tell, if you watch my dad's tapes when he was Speaker, a lot of the times he looked very frustrated because he didn't understand the level of scrutiny that he was going to be under, and it was frustrating.
Jackie Gingrich Cushman is the founder and chairman of the board of the Learning Makes a Difference Foundation and the author of this book, actually the editor of this book, The Essential American, A Patriot's Resource, 25 Documents and Speeches Every American Should Own. And I want to encourage you to get it. Jackie's website is linked at our website at godandculture.com. It's www.jackiecushman.com. And Jackie, it's fascinating, and I appreciate you taking the time and the effort to put all of these documents together in one volume for us, and I'm sure that it's going to be beneficial.
It really is. It's a great useful volume, which is the whole was why we did it. There's nothing new exciting because the documents are all available, but we did include a 400 event timeline. We have a free DVD included in the back with 1,200 documents. We have all the presidents, all the first ladies, and all the Supreme Court justices. So it's just a nice, great resource, everything at your fingertips. And it really does. You start with Patrick Henry and go all the way through to George Bush. It really gives you a great flavor for how exceptional our nation really is.
And it is exceptional, and you've given us a gift by providing this resource for us, and all the best to you and to your father and what lies ahead.
Thanks so much, Paul. I really appreciate it.